sound, they can add it to the library. So if there's ever a time we don't have worship leader, we can always go into the library. It's not about me or whoever, but if you do lead songs, you get to choose what you want, I guess, and everything's coming at you. The first song is "He Has Made Me Glad." It is taken out of Psalms 100, and I've asked Brother Steve just to read Psalms 100 before we go into this song.
Psalms 100, 1 through 5. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endure to all generations."
Thank you, brother. I guess some of my song selection this morning is a lot about to worship and praise. And that's something that has been recently on my mind, that is to bless. It's to bless people. Not only bless people, but to bless God. We are in this society. We just hear all this bombarding us. Just kind of not so good, you know. And like, I think it does as well, you know, to speak blessings, speak words of life, because there is a power in the tongue. So, why don't want y'all stand, and we'll, if you just do the sing-along, and there again is follow the string, not me. So, we're ready.
I will say this is the day that the Lord has made.
mean to you that he has made you glad? What does that mean to you? Yeah. Yeah. Now, I was kind of reading on this, and there's multiple times in Psalms and throughout Scripture, it's to shout unto the Lord, to make a joyful noise unto him, and to lift up his name. The next song is Here I Am to Worship. And probably after each song, I'll just open up just for briefly if someone has a testimony or a praise report or something you'd just like to bless. So, next song, Here I Am to Worship.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I
testimony or something you'd like to share? Praise. If not, our next song is Let Your Living Water Flow. In the beginning, I think we played this song before, there's a prayer. So in this song, try to pay attention to the words. This is a very, been a very a meaningful song to me. And I just, I guess my prayer is that we could all sing this as a prayer for each one of us.
Father, we glorify your name, and we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. We know, Lord, that you care about all our problems and all our hurts and every disease. And Jesus, we know that as we release ourselves in faith, trusting only in you, that the power of the Holy Spirit would be released, healing and wiping away all doubt, disappointment, and fear. Father, let the power of your Spirit move upon every man, every woman, and every child, from every tribe and in every nation, as we await the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let your living water flow.
To you I roll.
Yeah, I just had to think of that analogy again this morning. You know, we're all coming from different directions, how we have a different path of a walk of life, but yet we're all coming through these doors, entering into His courts. We're all here for the same reason. We're here to worship Christ, our Savior, this morning. Okay, next song. Come Now is the Time to Worship.
There's a place where streams
Brother Phil is having the children's lesson. So, children, you can come up.
Good morning, kids. Any more coming? There we go. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to share something with you that an old man shared with me one day. And I am trying to learn this. So the best way to learn something, do you know how the best way is to learn something?
Yeah, one more kid.
Hey, buddy, come on up. The best way to learn something is to teach it. There we go. So, here's the Bible verse. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And the other Bible verse, that was in Philippians chapter 2. The other one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Have you ever tried to get someone to follow you? Have you tried to get someone to follow you, anyone? No, you never have. Well, maybe today will be your first day when you try to get someone to follow you. So here's how I'm going to illustrate this. Underneath Michael. So this is how this old man told me, gave me this illustration. We have a rope here. Okay, so have you ever tried to push a rope?
Yeah.
Any volunteers? Okay, Lucas, come. Try to push this rope over there to that. Take a hold right here and push it. No, not. You got to push it. You know what pushing means? Yeah, push. 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 Well, that's kind of a tangled mess, isn't it? What is a much better way to do it? You want to show us? Yeah. Why don't you, Denzel? You want to show us how to do a better way? How do you untangle this in a good way? By taking this end right here. Take this end and show us how to untangle it. Oh, he's pulling it. That's a much better way, right? So here's what we're going to do to illustrate this. All of you guys come up here and take a hold of this rope. I'm going to take a hold up here. So each person spread out through here and take a hold of the rope. Denzel in the back there behind Lucas. Okay, Annika, you want to take a hold back here? Here you go. Take a hold. Okay. Now, I'm going to, I'm going to try to force you guys to do something by pushing you into it, right? So we're going to go this way. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Where are you going? I'm going this way. I'm going this way. Oh, I'm sorry, Annika. I didn't mean to hurt you. Are you okay? It's okay. I was a little rough.
Everybody saw the pastor doing it, right?
Okay, we're going to try a different way. That wasn't a very nice way, was it? It makes you feel like crying, like Annika. How about we do this? Hey, guys, follow me. Let's go over here. Everybody take a hold of the rope. Come, follow me. Let's go see this. Oh, we've got a big, long rope behind you there, Lukey. Can you bring the tail end of the rope? We're going to go explore this. See how much nicer that is? No one's crying. That's much better. I'm leading you. Lucas is bringing up the tail end of the rope. So, that's better, Annika. So, there is a verse in the Bible in Psalm 32, that says, don't be like a horse or like a mule. How do you make a horse and a mule go where you want him to go? A horse. How do you make a horse go? Real fast. That's right. You whip them, right? And it says you put a bit and a bridle in their mouth. Then you have to jerk them this way and jerk them this way. God doesn't want to lead us like that. You know what Jesus said? How does Jesus want to lead us? He said, come, follow me. And he gives us the Holy Spirit. He connects us to himself with a rope called the Holy Spirit. And he just begins to lead us like this. And as long as we follow the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we can follow Jesus in a nice, life-giving, pleasant way. Right? Yeah. Do you know, I'll tell you another story. Hey, hang on, guys. I'll tell you another story. So this was a life, like a lifesaver for us. When I was about 19 or 18 years old, there's something we really enjoyed to do, me and my friends. We would go and explore caves. And sometimes in the Pennsylvania mountains, there were old mining caves that had been just deserted from many, many years before us. And we would find a hole in the ground. Oftentimes it was just a hole in the ground, not a hole in the mountainside, just down in the ground. And one of us, we'd all get flashlights, and one of us would let the other one down in the hole with a rope. And we'd go down in there, and he would tie the rope around his tummy like this, tie it around himself. And then the next guy would come down. And we'd let each other down on ropes like this, and we'd tie each other off to each other, and we'd try to explore this cave going way down into the mountain. With someone stayed up on top, or we'd tie it to a tree. But the rope kept us safe, and we couldn't get lost that way. If we got lost and we forgot which turn to take, we would follow the rope, and everybody would follow the person next to him. And that's how we were kept safe, exploring a dangerous cave. This is how life is.
We know that we wanted.
Yeah? What?
That's why God was there to protect you.
That's right. And that's how Jesus protects us in a dangerous world where there's lots of places where we could get lost.
But with a bear.
We what?
With a bear in the mountains.
Yeah. You don't want to go into the mountains?
With a bear.
Oh, you have a bear in the mountains.
And a mountain lion.
Well, then you definitely need a rope to run away from the bear, right?
I'm going to go into the mountains.
Yeah?
After church.
After church.
But what about the
good
zoo?
Good for you.
What about the zoo and made a tiger?
Yeah? A tiger?
Yeah, then you have to get a roof and roll you in his
cage. He'd better stay in his cage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So remember this. What I'm trying to teach you is this. It is much better to follow someone and say, come, follow me, okay? Let's not play tug of war. That's not a good way to do with the rope, okay? It's better to just say, come, follow me. And that way you're an example and they can follow you rather than trying to push, right? That doesn't go so well to push people, just like it doesn't go well to push a rope. All right? You may go back to your parents.
Thank you, Brother Phil. It's always an excellent reminder for us older children as well, by all means. One other quick thing I was going to mention is regarding the songs like the music library. If you ever do a search, what's very helpful, what I've found is, so there's like a certain particular song, there's multiple different tunes or whatnot to it, with lyrics and etc. We have found that what works well is if you can find something with the music and the lyrics and everything to it, and then just hit the arrow, the forward button to Jemiah, and then he can put it in the playlist. Anyway, for next Sunday, the ministry team has scheduled for their share time. So if you have any questions or whatever, please bring them to Brother Phil or whoever. Looks like we have a men's book study this Wednesday night, I guess, at John House. And I assume that's at 6:30. And then the Saturday morning prayer at 7 o'clock. Continue to remember the Hershey family. Looks like they've arrived safely in Thailand. So not only for them, but for the ministry there. That that could be a light in the testimony there. And, you know, it's a couple things I've always kind of, there's different ways of to administer to different groups and everything, but it's of the same spirit. And it's all to bring souls to Christ. And it's all for His honor and glory. Because Brother Ali is bringing us the word today. So why don't we just bow our head for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for who You are. Lord, we just bless Your holy name this morning. Father, I want to lift up our brother to You. Lord, just anoint him with Your Holy Spirit. Just pray You'd give him words to speak, Lord, from Your word through him. Lord, just help us to all have open hearts and ears to receive from Your word. Lord, I just pray that we can not only be hearers, but doers of Your word. Lord, we just thank You for Your many blessings. We ask this all in Your name. Amen.
No? Hello? Yes? Good? Okay. Thank you. So I had this brilliant idea yesterday. I was mowing the lawn in my house, and we have a trampoline that somebody gave us in the back, in the backyard. And there was a moment to move it, and I thought, I can do it by myself. You know, I mean, I'm young, I'm strong, so I went for it. You know, I went underneath, and then I went this way, you know, with the trampoline here, and moved it, and it was fine. I was fine. 2 hours later, oh my goodness, I have an awful pain in my back. So if you see me walking like a robot today, it's because of that, okay? Not that I'm trying to be cool. Anyways, that happens. I'm there. I'm already there, you know? It's part of it. It's part of it. So we are at the end of the book of Colossians. And when I read this last part, it's a big part of it, our greetings, you know, Paul is saying, so-and-so is with me, say hi to this person, and this and that, and, you know, I was thinking, why can't we talk about this, what in the world are we going to get out of this, you know, and I found a lot of research online, and this is actually really, really interesting, and you're welcome to do some research too about it. Where people have studied the names that Paul are mentioning and just following these people, and you will learn about their lives. And it's very interesting, to be honest with you. I mean, it was like, wow, this is really fun, you know? But I thought, what else? Is there anything else? So I'll share with you what the Lord gave me in this portion. If we go, let's all go to the book of Colossians. We're finishing the book of Colossians. I have enjoyed, you know, like going deeper into this book. It's been such a blessing. So Colossians 4, we're going to start in 7. I'm going to read it little by little, you know, verse by verse, make a couple of comments. But you need to remember that English is not my first language. So reading names, especially these names, sound very strange. To me, I don't know about you, but I mean, so I'm gonna try whatever comes to my mind. I mean, the way to say it, but you follow me. So the first one, Tychicus or Tychicus, or how would you say it? Either way, Doesn't matter. Okay, I'm going to say Tychicus. So Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He's a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you of everything that has taken place here. So let me pause here really quick. When I started to read this portion of the Bible, it made me realize something that I honestly loved. When I saw this, I was like, okay, this is what I want to share with you, with the church. This is what I want to share. The word friendship came to my mind. I don't know if you passed through this kind of stage in your life. I did, unfortunately, in which I thought I could live my life by myself. And I got into this very strange, I'm not sure if it is a mood, but I'm going to call a stage in which it was just me, right? That made me feel a little bit special, like, oh, I'm the one. I mean, you're not enough. You see, I mean, my flesh is just jumping around, right? Enjoying my ego growing like a balloon. You know what I'm saying? Just like, I'm talking about Christian life. I mean, I thought living my Christian life by myself was double holy. I'm just making up an expression here, right? Because you don't get contaminated with anything, with nothing. And for some reason, I thought that was a good thing, right? To be a solo Christian. No people around you, because people make mistakes. I don't, right? But people do. And I don't want those mistakes in my life. They don't have the standard that I have to live on. And don't worry, I don't think that way anymore. The Lord showed me that I was very wrong, okay? Don't worry. But it just made me realize, for instance, if we think of Paul, I dare to say that a big percent of the Christian population, we have a lot of respect for Paul. Would you agree with me? We do, right? Because of his letters, because of what we learned from him, because of we saw in the Word of God, we've seen how his life was radically changed by the Lord, right? And he got to a point that is like, man, I almost wish I was like him, right? Or I wish I had the experience or the knowledge or the understanding. Or I wish I'd write a letter like him. I don't know. But we do have respect either way. However, I see Paul here mentioning people, and I see him trusting people. Right? He's trusting Tychicus and Onesimus, that they will bring some news to the church of Colossae, and that they will encourage them too. So this tells me that Paul knew these guys. He spent time with them. They spent time together, right? And they affected each other. I'll check the next part. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justus, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Did you read that part? They have been a comfort to me. So, Paul, being the great Paul that we have in our mind, he allowed these guys to influence his life. Now, during this time, they're in prison. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm guessing they hang out a lot, pretty much all day. They were together all day. Man, they got to know each other quite a bit, let me tell you. Maybe too much. And they just made me realize the importance of having people around you in your walk with the Lord. And I say this because it speaks to my heart, right? Because at some point in my life, I believed that I could walk by myself. And I also say this because I know I've told you that you don't have to go to church to have a relationship with the Lord. And I still believe that. And if I'm wrong, I hope the Lord will show me, or maybe you guys will help me understand. I'm talking about the relationship with God. I'm not saying that you should not go to church. All right? I'm saying your relationship. Because when you're back home, right, it's independent from being here. Right? Your time spending with the Lord is in a way independent from being here altogether. However, it is very important to have community, to have people around you. People that will comfort you. People that will challenge you. Because you might be wrong in something that you have no idea. You know how you're going to find out that you're wrong? You won't if you're by yourself. But a brother or sister that walks with you following Jesus because she or he loves you and they see something, I'm almost positive they will go to you with love and tell you, hey, brother, sister, check this out. You see the difference? So this, it was something big in my heart when I saw this. The importance of having people around you. Don't live your Christian life by yourself. We're not called to be alone. We're not called to be alone. And if you're thinking, I don't have friends. I mean, in doing research about this, I found out that there is a whole science on friendship. Friendology. That's incredible. So, and these people have studied friendships and how having a friend affects your life. And, I mean, I don't know how accurate this is, but it's very interesting that they were saying that people with a lot of friends seem to be happier than those that do not have friends. That's interesting, right? But they also say that having a friend that you learn from each other and that you pass habits one to the other. Good habits and bad habits. I'm pretty sure this is an expression in English. You know I like expressions, right? But we have this expression in Mexico that says, of course, I just thought of it, so I don't know how to say it. But the one that hangs out with wolves learns how to... What is the sound of the wolf? Howl? Okay. The one that hangs out with wolves learns how to howl. Right? Does that make sense, the expression? Right? That if you hang out with people that do something in particular, you will do it too. Right? Like, for instance, in my life, I have never played volleyball. Never. In Mexico, we play football, soccer. That's it. Right? Because it came from heaven. I'm just kidding. I mean, you know, that's all we play. We don't play volleyball. I moved to the States, and then the friends I was hanging out with, they started to play volleyball. Guess what? Now I play volleyball. Right? And we can use this in a good example. Right? If you don't work out, and you're hanging out with people that work out, then you're going to start working out. If you don't smoke and you start hanging out with people that smoke, guess what? Yeah, exactly. Especially if you're young, right? That you, again, we're not made to be alone. We do need relationships. We do need people. And for instance, I remember the first time that I drank alcohol, it was because I wanted to fit in a group. It tasted awful. But I wanted to be part of those guys, right? So I learned to do that because of them. You see, good and bad habits. We affect each other. We affect each other here too, okay? We affect each other. Number 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf. On your behalf, in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis, I guess. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, and does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, goodness, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this reading with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. So this is the end of the book. However, let me make a couple comments. Talking about friends and how important it is to have friends. Because, I mean, by the way, you can have friends, of course, in the church and outside of the church, right? I mean, I'm not saying that you should only have friends in the church. Hey, you can have as many friends as you want, right? And if you're thinking, oh, I don't have that many friends, I would challenge you to ask yourself why. If you want to have friends, then be friendly. If you want to eat with people and they don't invite you over, you invite them over. Just don't wait for people to come say hi to you. You go say hi to them. You'll be surprised. Even, I mean, sometimes we just met a family very randomly. Let me share this with you because it's kind of random. We're getting to Denzel's soccer game, and I just saw two girls speaking Spanish. Super clear, perfect Spanish. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, that's not very common. So I saw the lady, and she didn't look very Hispanic. And I had to go for it. And I, excuse me, why do you speak Spanish? And she's like, oh, because I'm from Guatemala. Oh, really? Oh, wow. Okay, that makes sense. This is my wife. You guys should exchange numbers. Just because. Guess what? Next weekend, we went to a birthday party of people that we didn't know before. It was her. She invited my wife. Hey, you should come to her birthday party. We went, you know, hang out with them. And now we have new friends from Guatemala. He's from Georgia, I think. But you know what I'm saying? It's just random. We don't even know them very well yet. And we don't know if they're Christians or not. But we just have new friends. Right? I mean, I'm not saying that you have to do that. Right? Unless you speak Spanish, want to go for it, go for it. But what I'm saying is, if you want friends, be friendly. It's a blessing. Oh my goodness, friends sometimes can have a place in your life that is important. I still remember this one friend when I was 8 years old. Oh my, I love this boy as a brother. And it's funny because I don't even know his last name. You know, as an 8 year old, you don't care about the last name. I just remember his name, Daniel. I even remember his face. You know, I can picture his face. I'm talking about 30 years ago, by the way, just so you know. And I still have an appreciation for this boy. And might sound a little bit weird, right? Because I haven't seen him. Maybe I should go try to find him. And I remember when he moved to another town, like 2 hours away from my house. Maybe as an adult, 2 hours is nothing. But as a boy, that just meant the end of it. I remember crying for this friend. It meant so much to me, my relationship with him. I think, like 8 years later, he came and knocked on the door of my house. And he just said, hey, I'm looking for Eli. And I go over there. And, you know, we all both look very different, of course. And I'm like, who are you? And I'm like, bro, I'm your friend it's not kindergarten. What's next? Primary school or whatever. Like, fifth, elementary school. Bro, I mean, it was such a blast to see him again. The fact that he came back and looked for me told me that he cared for me too, that I was important for him, right? And like this friend, I have some other friends. I have one friend we got in troubles because we were good friends. I mean, not because we were good friends, but what I mean is like because he got in troubles, I got in troubles with him. And I knew it was bad. And I knew I shouldn't have done it. But he was my friend. How am I going to let him down? And the other way around too, okay? I wasn't like the little angel. I mean, I got him in troubles too. We both did even wrong things. But what I'm not trying to encourage that, right? What I'm trying to say is that because we care so much for each other that we even did bad stuff together in the name of friendship. So important. Suddenly this guy, he moved to the States. And at this point, there is no cell phone. There is no way to communicate. We used to call each other like once every couple months or whatever. One day, I found out that he was starting to smoke marijuana and stuff. And I cried. It still hurts. He was a creep. This guy, he's the one that was calling me. Hey, let's go to church. Let's go to church. And he lost his way. He became an alcoholic. He became all the things that go together, right, with drugs and that kind of stuff. I lost my friend. Now he was mocking me for being a Christian. Can you imagine? His mind just changed. And that hurt like you have no idea. I still try to reach to him, and he makes fun of me. He calls me little pastor, pastorcito, right? Because I try to share with him back what he shared with me. I lost a friend, and I still love him. Friends are very important. Very important. And I'm pretty sure that if we take 30 seconds and I tell you, hey, think about one friend. Oh my goodness, right away, you know which one. You go over there. And then you start thinking about things that you did together, conversations that you had together, good and bad stuff maybe, problems that you had with this friend could be too. But at the end, you came together like good friends. And if you want to learn about friendship, you should read this book. There are so many good examples. David and Jonathan. Right? Incredible friendship. In Proverbs 17, a friend lost at all times. Right? That's when you know that somebody is your friend. No matter if you're here, here, or here, he will always be by your side. And you know he loves or she loves you. A friend sticks closer than a brother sometimes. Right? Because, I mean, unfortunately, for some reason, there are some things that you are willing to share with a friend, but not your brother or your sister. I'm not even sure why the signs behind it, what it is, but it happens, right? I mean, of course, I had conversations with my friends way deeper than I have with my siblings. I don't know why, but I guess that happens. In Proverbs 16, I want to mention this one because this is interesting. There is a part that says, a whisperer separates close friends. I hope this never happens to you or has happened to you. But this one friend that I was mentioning to you, that I lost it because alcohol and stuff, there was one time in which I got a comment from another friend, a negative comment about this guy that I'm talking about, and this disrupted my relationship with him for a time. And it hurt. It took quite a bit, actually, for both of us to come together again, you know, and be buddies like we were. Just because I listened to the comment of someone else that was trying to destroy our friendship. So be careful with those whisperers. Be careful with those whisperers. Let's go. I want to talk to you about one particular friend, right? Let's go to the book of John. I know John is in my Bible somewhere. I've seen it before. Yeah, here. John 15. John 15, 12. Are you there? Are you ready? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. 13. Greater love has no one than this. Check this out. That someone laid down his life for his friends. 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Let me tell you this thing. If you have one friend that is willing to give his life for you, come on. That is the best friend you could ever find. Look for a friend no longer. You found him. How many of you have a friend that gave your life for you? I'm not talking about Jesus. Let me say that question again. Good point. Not considering the Lord, how many of you have a friend that you can say, oh, this friend of mine, you know, I was dying here and he gave my life for me. Or she gave my life for me. Amen, brother. You know what I'm going at? If you have a friend that gives your life for you, let me tell you this. This person loves you. Loves you at all times. This friend loves you in such a way that is indescribable. How would you give your life for someone else? Are you guys my friends? Would you give your life for me? It's a rhetorical question. You don't need to answer it. I'm not going to get offended, by the way. I will be the same. I will be like, I'm not sure. Right? But when you give your life for someone else, you love so, so, so much. Proverbs 22:24. Make no friends with a man given to anger. If you want to have a good friend, besides being friendly and loving him or loving her, fully love this person. Make sure this person is not given to anger. I had a friend when I lived in Mexico City. I had a good friend. And when I met, it was a girl. And when I, every single time I talked to this friend, girl, about previous friendships for some reason, she was always the victim, right? Her friends betrayed her in this way. Her friends betrayed her in that way. And that was a common pattern. You know, I was always like, oh, that's interesting that this very close friend of yours did this to you. And she would be like, yeah, you know, that's why I don't call this person anymore. And so on. And many stories like that. Until one day, I don't remember what exactly it was, but she was like, hey, do you want to go to this store, so and so? And I was busy doing something. I told her, hey, yeah, just give me a few minutes. You know, I'm cleaning my house, and I'm gonna take a shower, get ready, and I meet you over there in 20, 30 minutes or something. That was the end of the conversation. I lost that friend because of that. Exactly. That was my face, too. I was like, what? Next day, when I go to the lab, we were working in the lab together, in the laboratory together. Everybody was looking at me with a face like, wow, what a bad guy. And I was like, well, what's going on? By the time I go to the lab, she explained to everybody what an awful person I was. And egocentric, because she told them that I never wanted to do anything with anybody unless you guys wanted to do what I wanted to do. Right? So I lost this friend because I had to take a shower, right, because I was cleaning my house. But not only that, she spread the news, you know, around the people and made me look like a very not nice guy. And since then, I've not heard from her. I emailed her a couple years ago, zero. Isn't that interesting? Again, she was the victim. And I was the bad guy of the movie. Now, I want to use, if we go back to the book of Colossians, Paul is mentioning a couple people here. And it's very interesting, actually, because there are other letters in which Paul mentions the same guys, right? Which tells me that they spend time together. Now, some of these guys, we actually have heard of them before. Like Luke. Luke is the author of the book of Luke. And Mark is the author of the book of Mark. I mean, these guys being in prison together, they did not know that the Holy Spirit was using them to transform the world. And these were just letters, right? My guess, and I'm almost positive I'm right with what I'm saying, my guess is that they were not saying, I'm going to write this letter because it's going to be part of the Bible, and then I'm going to be remembered. And right? I don't think so. They were just thinking, oh, I'm going to send a letter to this brother or to this church. Let me write it down, or maybe dictate it. Dictated? You know what I'm trying to say? What's the word? Dictated. Dictated to someone else, whatever. So it was just normal letters, right? So we have Mark and we have Luke. Amazing letters. They're part of the gospel, right? What we call the gospel, the books here in the Bible. So let me tell you about one of these guys is Demas. 11, Luke, the beloved physician, greets you and does Demas. So this guy, Demas, he's mentioned in the book of Philemon, which, by the way, that's another story that we should talk about, because Onesimus, in verse 9, he mentions Onesimus. Onesimus used to work for Philemon, and apparently he did something wrong, right, and flew away. He ran away from Philemon, but now Paul is sending him back to Philemon. And there is a letter about that. But that's another story. Another friendship over there. But that's another story. So, in 2 Timothy 4:10, let's go over there. Let's go find it. Just a couple books later. 2 Timothy 4:10. It says, for Demas, in love with the present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Paul lost a friend to the world. This guy lost his way because he fell in love with the present world. James 4:4 says that friendship with the world is enmity with the Lord. You need to choose your side, the world or the Lord. Which one do you think is the best friend? Now, this is one example of somebody, because I don't think there is another place in the Bible in which this person is mentioned. So we don't know if he came back, you know, to the Lord. We just know that he left. And we have another example, which is actually Mark. Mark was the cousin of Barnabas? So, you know that story, Paul and Barnabas. I'm sorry? As a nephew. Okay, it was nephew. They were related. That's what matters. Well, they were related. I don't remember if it's a cousin or a nephew, but they were related. I mean, they knew each other, right? And Paul is getting into a disagreement with Barnabas. Now, The Bible says that it goes spicy. That's my translation. It was like a heavy conversation. Because Paul didn't want this guy, Mark, to go with them. And Barnabas wanted him. Right? So that's big. So you can tell Paul, not happy with Mark. Right? However, later in Mark, Mark 4:11. Let's go to the book of Mark. Mark 4. Okay, I'm almost there. No, that's not what I meant. Is it this? Okay, I made my notes wrong. That's not the one that I'm trying to say. But there is one portion in the Bible in which... Is it 2 Corinthians? Okay, Paul is at the very end of his life, and he knows this. Right? And he's asking for a couple of things, but he also says, bring Mark. Because he does good to me. That just caught my eye right away. It's like, wow, isn't it the same guy that you were having problems with? It is the same guy. But now you want him. So God worked in Paul's heart, in both of them, somehow, in some way, that they came. 2 Timothy, there you go. 4:11. Okay. Oh, that's what I got wrong. 4:11. But he does say something like that, right? He's calling for Mark. So that makes me happy because there is hope. I'm talking about like an earthly friendship, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure all of us have had some issues with somebody, right? Family, friends, and it's almost easy to say, oh yeah, this one. Unfortunately, that's part of it, right? But there is one friend, and this is the one friend that I would like you to think about. This is the one friend that I would like you to have in your life. I will definitely encourage you to have friends in this place, right? That if there is one friend that you want, is this friend. If humanly speaking, having a friend, you receive love from one another. You sharpen each other, right? We help each other. You don't feel alone when you have a friend. Talking about earthly friend. Right? But there is one friend that you should only trust 100% with your entire life. And that is Jesus. He's the best friend that you could ever have. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter your age, your experience. It doesn't matter your previous experiences with other friends. Right? This friend listens to you. This friend, Jesus, he's honest with you. We want honest friends. We need honest friends. This friend will always be by your side. No matter the time, he will be by your side. He loves you. He wants the best for you. And finally, which is the top of the list, he gave his life for you. So I definitely want to encourage you to have friends, of course. But consider this one friend, Jesus. He calls you servant no more. He calls you a friend because he's given you access to everything. Because now you know everything. He's given himself to us. He's given us the way to the Father. This is the one friend that we all need, that we all want. So that's what I got out of this book. And I was blessed. I was blessed. I hope the book of Colossians has been a blessing to you too. I look forward to study another book together. If you have some thoughts about a book, or you're welcome to share with us. I don't know if Phil is going to continue sharing on Colossians. I think I have one more, if I'm not wrong. So I still have one more, even though we finished. I will still share one more with you, maybe next time. But I just want to encourage you. This friend is available all the time. All the time. And we do need friends. Let's be honest. We need friends. I know I was wrong when I was thinking that I could live my Christian life by myself. I was wrong. I was wrong. I asked for forgiveness and the Lord forgave me. But now, let me tell you this. I am enjoying having friends like you guys. Like you. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for being such a good friend. Thank you for giving your life for us, for giving us access to the Father, and for showing us the way. God, we want to be affected by your friendship. We want to be changed by you, Lord, to be more like you. Help us choose our friends on this earth too, to love them, to love one another, just like your word says. Just God, thank you for such a great idea of having friends, of having people around. Lord, and if we ever get into an argument or something, a difference, please help us walk through it. Help us go to one place together in love, in which your name is being glorified. Thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to finish one thing. As you can tell, we have less people now. A couple of families, you know, the Lord called them to another place. And if you feel a little bit discouraged, it's okay. Don't worry. I mean, we as a ministry team, we also see it. And I dare to say we feel it too. But, you know, God, in His mercy, He's shown us that even though that's important, right, because we care for each other and we like and love friends, we're still in the way. God is still with us. God is with them. Let's pray for them because we're friends and we love them. But don't allow that discouragement to stop your relationship with the Lord. Right? Let me tell you one thing. I've been part of churches in which numbers meant everything. And we will do activities just to keep people. Thank God, He's shown us that's not the strategy. Amen. The strategy is Jesus. Even if it is just us, we can encourage each other. We can learn together and grow together in the Word of God. You might be surprised. And by that, I don't mean that we might grow like crazy and turn into a mega church. No, I'm saying be surprised in the fact that the Lord will work and will continue His work, even if it is just us. So don't get discouraged. Or if you're discouraged, allow the Lord to take you out of that discouragement. We're actually very excited, and you will find out this coming Sunday. We're going to share a couple things with you all. We're very excited for what the Lord is doing. And it's not at all related to the numbers, to the number of people that we have in the church. It's about what God is doing in our hearts, in our lives. So enjoy the process. Let's enjoy together the life of Jesus. So, love you guys. Amen. We'll be around here. Where's Dave? Dave, are you? Go ahead. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, brother, for that word, for that encouragement. Verse that popped out to me is, I think Proverbs 27. 14 or 17, something like that. Iron sharpeneth iron. And, you know, so many times is iron to sharpen iron, there needs to be that friction. Yeah. And, you know, you hit it with that plate once time, like, ouch, that didn't feel, there's a little friction there. So many times we shy away from that. And, you know, that is something we need. And I appreciate what he shared. And I think Lee and I have this kind of a same processor. So I very much relate to that. I need people. And so many times then, spiritually, business, whatever, we need that encouragement. We need sometimes, even though there's not always that agreement, but, you know, we can still be able to work together, you know, and that's how we grow. That's how we grow. That's how we need challenges. We need to exercise, you know, spiritually, or we need to exercise our mind. So thanks again for sharing it. And, yeah, there in closing, you know, I'm glad you brought that up as far as, you know, smaller group and all. Personally, like, yes, the Lord is doing a work here, obviously. And I would love to see this thing packed out. You know, that's me. That's my personality. But anyway, I thank you for being here, being plugged in, and for your friendship. And everyone's been a blessing to us here as family. So thank you for coming. Is there any announcement, anybody? Or if not, I know there's multiple people that aren't here today, my wife and Merv and a few people kind of that. I know that crud's been kind of gone around, so just keep everyone in prayer. So now I think that is one way we can be able to lift one another up. So what... why don't just bow our head for a word of prayer, and we ask a blessing on the new meal as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and for your goodness, and Lord, that you are our true friend. And Lord, I just thank you for Brother Lee for sharing in the way he did this morning. Lord, I just pray that that I could be that friend to each and every one here and those around me, Lord, that I could be a blessing, and that we could all be that light and a testimony in this coming week, Lord, as we depart from here. Lord, I just also thank you for the physical food. I just pray you bless it to our bodies, bless those that have prepared it, bless them for their efforts and their work. Lord, we just thank you and praise you again for all the things that you've done for us. And Lord, I just wanted to lift up the Hershey family to you this morning as well. Lord, I just pray that you be with them in this coming week, Lord, as they go about in new environment and meeting new people and everything. Lord, I just pray you go before them, pave their way for them, and Lord, that they could see your hand in everything that they do. And Lord, and through all of these things, that your name would be honored and glorified. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. I ask this in your name. Amen. You're dismissed.